It's All Talk. I'm Kevin Dietz. The number, if you want to join us, is 1-800-859-0957. Give us a call or give us a text, 1-800-859-0WJR. The holiday magic behind one of Michigan's most iconic festive brands has hit a frosty snag. Fred Hajar, the beloved ugly Christmas sweater king, is now wrapped in controversy. According to the U.S. Department of Justice, Hajar allegedly ripped off taxpayers by using his wife's name and fudging facts to rake in over $500,000 in fraudulent pandemic relief loans. The scandal settled for $1 million, but not without raising eyebrows and serious legal questions. Let's bring in Todd Flood, attorney at Flood Law. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Kevin. I'm great. Thanks.
Walk us through what happened here, Todd.
So if you remember the PPP funds that were taking place during the pandemic, small businesses were getting paycheck protection program, you know, because of the shutdown during the COVID pandemic. And in this particular case, it sounds like from the pleadings that were issued by the Department of Justice and our Eastern District here as well, that three things really took place with Hajar. One, he failed to disclose that he was convicted of tax evasion in 2012 for one of his internet companies. And two, this was kind of the soup du jour when you defrauded on the PPP funds. You put it in someone else's name. You made it a straw purchase. He put it in his wife's name, which ultimately, is kind of the straw purchase type thing. She wasn't the real owner of the business. So that was pretty much the big part of this. This is, you know, one of those cases where he filled out the forms trying to get as much money as he could for the paycheck protection program. And when doing so, it's alleged, obviously there's got to be some proof to it, that he did so falsely. And so he had $504,000 given in loans. He paid back the $504,000, and then he had $504,000 in restitution. So basically the total amount, for that PPP was over $1 million. So, this case is one of so many that I've ran across in our firm that I've seen some of the lawyers working on. You got to remember there's $800 billion given throughout our country in PPP loans, and there was a lot of fraudulent activity. A lot of people stealing identifications, setting up false businesses, things of that sort. Here, he basically failed to fill out the forms properly, and he put it in the wrong name, trying to scam the government. That's the allegation. His defense is interesting because he uses the defense that, hey, listen, I went to legal counsel. I got counsel on this. I never had an intent to steal. It wasn't a specific intent to defraud. And that the civil case, even though he had to pay serious fines and restitution and all the money back, can't be used against him in a criminal case. But it sure does, kind of raise the eyebrow of what's happened with a lot of the scams that took place in this. This is small compared to the rest of them that I've seen.
Why can't it be used against him in a criminal case?
Because it's not an admission of guilt, and there's a different standard. And so in our Sixth Circuit, there's case law that says, when you settle in a judgment on a civil matter, it can't be used against you in a criminal matter. That's also vice versa, so I'm sure that was agreed to upon the government, the U.S. Department of Justice and the attorney that settled this case for him. Normally what happens is it's the opposite. When you plead what is called no contest in a criminal case, which is the same thing as a guilty plea, normally you can't use that no contest plea in establishing proof in a civil matter. This law is kind of split on that, but that's the normal course of business.
Could he take action against his lawyer if his lawyer told him that this was okay to do? Could he go after his lawyer to help pay some of that $1 million?
Absolutely. If there's malpractice, sure. Get your insurance company on notice. You could go after it. We call it the accounting defense. You know, and it goes over to the legal defense. But accountants, you know, you and I, we sign the form. We give all the information. We turn all our paperwork over. And, you know, I don't know the IRS code. You don't know the IRS code. And, you know, the accountant says, hey, listen, this is all good. It's kosher. You can sign. Boom, you sign. And the IRS comes and says, wait a second. This is wrong, A, B, C, and D. And your defense is, I don't know that, but I went to counsel my accountant, who is a public CPA, you know, public certified accountant. And he is the one that gave this advice to say this was proper for me to do. You know, so, you know, that accounting defense, that lawyer defense, yes, he could go after his attorney for, you know, if his attorney gave him that strict advice, said this is all kosher, this is good for you to do, you could sign it and get the funds.
Probably hard for him to explain away that he put this in his wife's name, and he would definitely know that she was not in charge of the business. So I don't know how far it would actually go, and maybe that has a lot to do with why he went for a settlement that would allow him to not be charged criminally. Only he would know that, I suppose. But do you remember when this first was going on? I mean, they could not get enough people to go onto the website and try and sign up for these PPP loans. And they would say, you know, I think it was like, borrow as much as you can, 1%, pay it back at 1%. And then they didn't ask very many people to pay any of it back at the time. Were we asking for fraud by the way we set this thing up? I mean, it was wild. I had never seen anything like it in my life.
It was crazy. And you had to raise your eyebrow, right, when you saw some of these things going through. And it was just ripe for fraud, because there was people that were making up businesses and making up employees and filing it to, you know, with one with Comerica, and then they would go to Flagstar, and then they would go to, you know, whatever loan institution was out there. And, you know, multiple fraudulent companies that were being put together. I think it was ripe. And it's kind of, you know, here's the crazy part about it. The FBI and the Department of Justice, it was like shooting fish in a barrel for committing fraud, because everything was, you know, it was leading the crumbs to the crime, right? How are you going to get around the fact that this is your signature, or this is the document you filled out, or this is the application, you know, so, yeah.
The paper trail cases are pretty easy to prove. But at the time, I remember, because we talked about this, we had people lined up at Somerset Collection buying fur coats and jewelry, and it was crazy.
Yep.
And people knew that this fraud was going on, and we asked officials about it. They said, well, look, there's a national emergency going on. We want to err on the side of getting people money that they need, and if there's fraud, we'll come back and get them later. Do you think they did a good job of coming back and getting them later, or do you think that, for the most part, we spend an awful lot of that $800 billion on fraud that we're never going to get back?
You know, we're so spread thin, I'm sure, right now with the FBI and Department of Justice, with employees. I'm sure they're doing, like, a ton of work, a serious amount of work on this. But, yeah, is there going to be cases that slip through the cracks? Of course. You know, when you go out and you remember the one that was on the front page of the papers where the guy was buying the Lamborghini, if
right.
you remember,
yeah, of course.
PPP funds. You know, that was just an abuse. That was a fraud, right? So those guys, those people are going to definitely be, you know, under the microscope and charged and go to prison.
Yeah.
The ones that probably are less threshold, you know, yeah, for sure, there's going to be certain ones that slip through the cracks.
Absolutely.
But I can't, I hope, you know, that at the end of the day, a lot of this money was returned and ultimately given back to taxpayers into the Treasury.
Hopefully so. Todd Flood, attorney at Flood Law, thanks so much. It's All Talk. I'm Kevin Dietz.